Welcome to Truvine Talks with Rachel and Linda. We are happy to gather with you on this Saturday morning. It's freezing and it's June 1st outside. What's up with that?
I don't know. I thought it was kind of nice here in Milton.
Well, I feel all the time that it's a thing I deal with. I don't know.
No.
But it's warming up and it's going to be summertime. So we're happy for summer.
Yes.
Miss Rachel took Core Skills Online and she came back with a wealth of resources regarding attachment and the anxious pursuer and the styles of attachment. We're just going to kind of process today a little bit about what are the positives of being these attachment styles, and anxious pursuers is one we're going to kind of zone in on today. Is that right, Rachel?
Yes, that's right. Because I think, you know, we obviously talk about attachment a lot. That's a normal frame of reference for us as emotionally focused therapists. So the topic is mentioned in every podcast, I'm sure, at some point.
Probably.
But we typically, I think, tend to focus on what we want to change about our attachment style or what we want to like stop doing to become more secure. And so when these articles were shared with me, I thought it was really interesting that they pointed out some of the superpowers, some of the positive traits or characteristics of each attachment style, because I think we just don't talk about that or appreciate it enough. You know, like, look what good this attachment style has done for this individual. And here we are kind of trying to nudge them in a different direction. And that's hard for people.
Good point. Good point. So rather than vilify, is that the right word?
Yeah.
These attachment styles, how about let's focus on what it means to be an anxious pursuer in relationship. And the anxious attachment style, according to Bowlby and Mary Ainsworth, was the child would protest if the mom, the primary caregiver, typically the mom, could be grandma, dad, when the child is hungry and it cries and no one attends to the baby, and they have to cry louder and get louder and protest harder till someone will eventually in due time reach for them. So that's the anxious pursuit of getting your needs met, whether that's physical or emotional. Do I have that correct, Rachel?
Yeah. So when we're talking about, I want to just share this because I know when I first started getting into the, like, all this attachment language, there were so many different words used to describe the same thing. So we are going to use anxious attachment, anxious preoccupied, pursuers. Those all mean the same thing. Those are all interchangeable. Correct?
Thank you.
Yeah, because that's, and if you read, it's so confusing, right? We're both shaking our heads left and right. Like, anxious, preoccupied, pursuer, we're kind of using those interchangeably to describe the same thing. And that is exactly what Linda just described, which is someone that tends to turn that emotional volume up, so to speak, you know, get louder in order to try to get their needs met, which might look like criticism, blame. I'm trying to think of some examples of what that might look like in a romantic relationship. What else, Linda?
Yeah. Sending 100 texts.
Constantly checking in. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, do you see me? Hello, I'm here. You know.
Yeah. That person that's always asking, are you okay? Are we okay? Are you all right? What's wrong?
Yeah. I think sometimes it may even be within the household environment, is cleaning or trying to perform some way in the house and get seen and heard.
Over functioning, absolutely. This is the person that, like, most of the chores and kind of family responsibilities fall on. This person's making the appointments for everyone and keeping track of it and cooking dinner and cleaning and running the kids here and there. Yeah, typically.
Yeah. And they are a doer. Like Rachel said, they're going to get it done. If it means that it's going to help someone, they're going to get things going because they're going to pursue people because they long to be seen and heard. This is me. I'm an anxious attachment style. So this, I understand this. It makes so much sense.
So, common signs of someone that might have this preoccupied pursuer attachment style would be afraid of abandonment,
Oh, yeah.
right? Tend to feel insecure in relationships. Their partner might kind of describe them as clingy or needy. Which they hate. Don't please don't call your every pursuer partner clingy or needy.
Please
It does
don't
not
call
feel
me.
good. Yeah.
I know it feels it makes you feel like there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
That's not a good feeling for sure.
Yeah. But just kind of always preoccupied, which is why they use that word, right? With the relationship and whether they're loved, right? Whether their love is being reciprocated, whether their effort is appreciated, right? Whether they're going to get left alone.
And as anxious pursuers, we need a lot of words of affirmation, that love language, hearing that we're doing it right, that we're our contribution is seen and heard, whether that's planning a vacation, cleaning the house, like you said, booking appointments, we need to be seen and heard in those efforts.
Yes. And when you're not, some ways that people often feel is alone,
Alone, yeah.
not important, unlovable, undesirable, misunderstood, shut out, disconnected, rejected, all that yucky stuff.
And not feeling seen or heard and feeling disconnected leaves you feeling alone and abandoned, and then you're just you start to develop a little bit of resentment for your partner at that time.
Absolutely. Because it feels very unfair. It feels very unfair because you're always working on trying to resolve conflict, ease over tension, like fix problems. You're bringing awareness to issues, right? Trying to come to a resolution, trying to feel more connected. And if that's not felt like it's valued or appreciated, then yeah, that's very frustrating. So there's this overarching feeling of like unfairness, which would like understandably lead to resentment, right? Like, look at all I'm doing all the time, everything I try to take care of for us, and you don't appreciate it? Yeah, I'm gonna feel some resentment about that.
The that's so true, Rachel. And the anxious pursuer, they're working towards, I'm pulling up my notes, they're working towards being closer. And the good part about being an anxious pursuer is we'll try so hard. We're relentless. Like it's our superpower. Like the article that Rachel sent me, that is our superpower. We're going to, like the lady pursuing the judge for justice in the scripture, where she wouldn't accept not receiving justice for her dilemma. She just constantly pursued and aggravated, and the judge is like, well, I neither care about God or this lady or her situation, but because she won't stop bothering me, I'm gonna give her what she wants. And an anxious pursuer will do that. We will.
Yeah. You won't take no for an answer.
We will bug you. We have poor boundaries.
But look at what that, like, this is why we're doing this podcast today. This part one of two. In our next podcast, we're going to focus on more avoidant attachment and withdrawers and their superpowers. Right?
Yeah.
But for today,
anxious
pursuers, they mean business. They're not going to take no for an answer. And a lot of times in work and friendships and relationships, that gets them what they need.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, we'll talk about how to soften that too, because you learn how to have boundaries with that too. They like anxious pursuers, we will notice. If I notice that Rachel has a glimpse of sad or distress, hey, what's happening there? Are you okay? We're great about checking in. You know, I checked in on my therapist this morning in couples therapy with Charlie. She had a little tickle in her throat, and I was like, hey, you know, do you need a drink of hot tea? And she's like, oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm going to get a drink of my hot coffee. So we'll notice your need before you even notice your need sometimes.
That hypervigilance, just always aware, makes for that nurturing caregiver person in your life.
Yeah.
I think of, like, sometimes little like friend groups will have like the mom friend. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that mom friend is probably an anxious pursuer in their life, right? They've got everything anyone could possibly ever need in their purse.
Everything.
They're always available if you call them, right? They're going to drop everything for you. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. The snacks that I bring to the group home, you got your Clif bars, you got your, you know, your Gatorade to make sure they have the electrolytes. I mean, just all the things that we pursue people in, it's just, it's quite, it's overarching too, so that can be
absolutely
overreaching.
Well, just always proving that you care.
Always trying to show people in some way that they truly matter to us, anxious pursuer. And that's great in the work environment. Wouldn't you prefer that? Like, don't you like it when someone's like, hey, how you doing? What can I do for you? Or, you know.
Yeah, there's this loyalty and sense of just dedication.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also usually big rule followers, usually very compliant in the workplace.
Yes. Yeah. Trying to figure out, what does the boss want? What do my coworkers like to eat? What can I do to make the environment more fun for everyone?
Yes.
And we get lost in the weeds with that, because sometimes it's like we miss the goal of what we're there for, because we're trying to appease everyone. But the positive part of that is that everyone's getting their needs met.
Yeah, right. They're striving for like this, like positive outcomes.
Yeah. Right?
And these are the people that are most likely to detect a problem and bring everybody's awareness to it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And our antennas are on, and we're, you know, hey, I noticed that Susie over there seemed a little sad. Maybe we could check in on her, write her a card, or see what's happening. We're very, the intentions of the anxious pursuer can be twofold, two parts. Part of it's the need to be seen and heard by someone. And then part of it is, you know, meeting the needs of others too. So, you know, there's a selfish aspect to all of us in our attachment style. However, the intention is always good. I think the intention is pure in that sense.
More often than not, for sure. Yeah, I think the intention is absolutely pure. Yeah. It's also like I think they can be really hard on themselves. There's like a constant sense of self-evaluation going on. Like, am I doing enough? Do I need to do more? What more can I do? How can I get better at this? Do I need to read a book? Do I need to, like, it's just,
Take another
yeah.
what training do I need to take for this client? How do I what do I need to read about? Like we're
Yeah.
on. We're hyper vigilant. We're really on. It's a positive perspective, and it can be overarching,
Yeah,
overreaching.
can create a lot of stress,
Whew. Yeah.
but also pushes this attachment style to be very, achieve a lot. I mean, if they've got a goal, like we said earlier, they're not going to take no for an answer. They're out there, they're meeting that goal. They're surpassing that goal. They're like, yeah.
Yeah. That is so true. So, like, I noticed I wasn't listed on the EFT listserv as a supervisor in training.
Oh.
I wasn't even listed. And so my primary panic showed up. I was like, did I not sign up for this when I thought I did? I emailed, I anxiously pursued them and said, hey guys, I noticed I'm not on the listserv. And they're like, oh yeah, you were grandfathered in during COVID. And I was like, oh, thank God. And I'm like, well, are you going to list me? Do you all notice me? I'm
Yep.
here to be a helper and a supervisor. And they're updating it. So,
Okay.
like you said, we are relentless. Like if we're going after a thing, we will not stop till it happens. And that's good in a lot of ways in
Oh,
life.
it's so good. My husband is great at that. I
Yeah.
love that about him.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Sam will just pursue it until it's
Oh
done.
my goodness. Yes. If we have a question about a bill or whatever, he is not afraid to call the company, call this person, call that person, make that person call that other person. Like, relentless is a good word for it. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're hot after it, man. It's like a Sunday on a hot sunny day. We're on it. We're going after that Sunday on Sunday. We're not going to stop till we get to Sunday.
Yeah, and my withdrawer avoidant self just is exhausted watching it. I'm like, I need a nap, and I haven't done anything. I've just watched you pace around the house on the phone for 4 hours, calling 50 people.
Yeah, we like I said, we are overarching, we're overreaching, and for the avoidant attachment style, that is exhausting. Yeah.
Because we cannot imagine doing all this work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is appreciated. Wow.
We need all kinds to make the world spin.
Yeah.
When
But
you
these people, go
yeah,
ahead.
you go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was just gonna say, like, just fully devoted, dedicated. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah. The just what like when sometimes you would get frustrated with people for being too quiet or being too excited, you got to think to yourself, wow, how boring would it be if we were all avoidant attachment? Or how boring would it be if everyone's anxiously pursuing all the time? Like it would be so boring. It'd just be boring.
Yeah, we either nothing would get done or we would just be annoying each other all the time.
Yeah, you put two anxious
Yeah.
pursuers together. I think my Bible class teacher, I think he is an anxious pursuer, and I am too. So, we would talk too much, and our avoidant partners are very, like, oh my gosh, could they just shut up? Just shut up, Linda, just shut up. And they're thinking, why are they talking so much? And it's a pursuit of being seen and heard by others. And people need to be careful with that, Rachel, because they'll call it narcissism, whereas narcissism is a obsession with looking at yourself.
Yes.
So let's differentiate narcissism from the anxious pursuer attachment style. They're wanting to look at themselves, and you reflect on them all the time. It's not about that. They're just trying to connect and reach and pursue and be seen and heard. They're connecting. Yeah.
The narcissist is concerned about what's going to make themselves look the best.
Oh,
The
very.
anxious pursuer is concerned about what is going to make everybody else most happy. This is very different. It's quite opposite.
Yeah. And so people, it's nuanced because sometimes people will see someone being overly excited and, pursuing something, and they'll think, well, they're just all about themselves. It's not about that. It's about how they feel connected to you.
Yes.
They feel
Yeah.
connected with people.
Yeah. They love people.
Oh.
They yeah, this is the we're talking about that pursuer attachment style again here, not the narcissist, but yeah, they love people.
Yeah.
They fall in love easily, deeply, head over heels. They will even like new friendships, right, that they're creating or establishing, they'll get really excited about it and want to spend a lot of time with that person.
Yes. Oh, yes. We'll plan hiking trips. I will plan. I'll see a race. I'll invite all my gym friends. Let's go to this race. Let's do this. I'm anxiously pursuing them, all of them, all the time. And you sometimes have to, pull back a little bit, let people have time and space to think about if they want to do that. That's the issue that we run into, is like giving time and space to the avoidance to decide what they want to do.
Gotcha. And trying not to take it personally if they need a alone time or yeah.
Yeah, but it's not that they're avoiding or you. They need more reboot time than maybe. Yeah, you're not on your head.
Yes, emphatically. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Our
Yeah.
battery gets drained and it takes us longer to recharge. Yeah.
Because the avoidant's good at taking care of themselves. They're very self-soothing and self-reliant.
Yes, which
Yeah.
we'll get more into in the next podcast. We'll dive into
Yeah.
that. Yeah. But just this, for the preoccupied pursuer, it's like this craving closeness and connection. It's like I can't be close enough to
Right.
people, right? Like I just want to know everything about the people that matter most to me.
Yeah. We want to know, what did you eat for breakfast?
Yeah. Or even like deep stuff, right? You want like these deep, meaningful connections, conversations, right? Tell me about your life growing up, or tell me your favorite part of this trip you just went on, or
Yes, my sister's doing a good job. She's in South Africa, and she sent
oh,
me,
wow.
they're out there for work, and she sent me a picture of her on a rock of hiking, and that made my anxious pursuer feel soothed
Oh.
that she showed me what she's doing.
Nice.
It's very
Yeah.
good. To all the anxious pursuers out there. Is there more we want to talk about their superpowers there, Rachel? I may have missed a couple. I don't know.
I think we've covered it. Like, we talked about work, we've talked about relationships, and those go for romantic relationships and friendships, right? That craving closeness, fall in love easily. We definitely talked about that, just that willingness to put in the work. Like, they're not going to stop, you know? Like, if there's a problem in this relationship, they're going to work and work and work on it. They're definitely less likely to give up and walk away from something. They keep at it.
That's so true. That if it comes, like if it lands on you as critical or smothering, you may let them know, like, hey, I've heard from you 25,000 times today. I know you exist. I know you exist. And so I see you, maybe letting the anxious pursuer know, I see you. And let me think on those activities that you want to do or things you want to experience with me. Letting them know that part.
Yeah, or like, hopefully now there's like a better understanding of what it's like being on that side of things if you're not, right, an anxious pursuer. And you can use that information when you respond, right? Like, hey, you seem really anxious today. Right? Like, I'm noticing that about you. What can I do to help soothe you? How can I be there for you?
Right, can I pet you on the head? Can I
Yeah.
what do you need? And a little bit of that goes a long way. It doesn't have to be a 3 hour hug session
Right.
for the anxious pursuer. They just need a little bit of reassurance, and that's what they're looking for, because growing up, they would protest and protest. And no one would show up for them. And a protest is a cry, a scream, a yell, something of that nature when you're a baby. Is that kind of making a connection there between, your primary attachment and then your adult attachment, how that kind of looks
I think
there?
so. I hope we're explaining it good enough for folks that aren't as well versed. Yeah, it's like I'm trying to reach out. I'm trying to ask for my need to be met, and I'm either getting in trouble or I'm being ignored. So my need's not getting met. Maybe I'm even getting blamed. Why are you so needy? Quit that. What's wrong with you? Right? And then I take that on. I start to believe that about myself, right? That, like, my needs are just too much for people. So it feels like I need to get louder and more expressive, or I need to focus on what other people need to change. Yeah.
Absolutely. So if the baby is crying and the mom doesn't attend to the baby will elevate the pitch. And then if the mom doesn't respond, the baby will protest more. And then detach eventually if no one comes and attends to the baby. They'll go inward, And
Which
yeah.
is that, like, more withdrawer that we'll talk about next time.
Yeah. Well, good topic, Rachel. I'm excited about our attachment styles and learning us focusing more on what's positive and less on what's negative about them.
Yes, yeah, so celebrate the anxious pursuer in your life and all that they make happen for you. Yay!
For me.
Linda's like, I love this. Yes, celebrate me.
Detachment. Yeah, I love that. That's good. Well, we hope our listeners got a little glimpse into the positives of the anxious pursuer type preoccupied. And next week, I believe that Rachel and I will have the time to do our avoidant. And we will continue to do our podcast. And you know, if you're wanting to pursue therapy, we have Caitlin, and soon to be Hannah Eastman joining our team.
Yay.
Part of True Vine, and I'm so grateful to God for bringing us some other ladies to fill in where Miss Rachel will be out for a little while, and we'll continue to do our podcast as the baby allows us to.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Until next time, thank you for listening. Bye.